Tonight I would like to talk to you about strong anchors for life's stormy seas. Acts chapter 27. We'll begin reading with verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Must have been a hurricane, like in Florida. They named it. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Don't you just don't like those words? You should have listened to me. I told you so. That's where he's saying. And have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I want to talk to you tonight about four anchors for life's stormy seas. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this evening. May it comfort our heart, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. These sailors found themselves in a storm that was overwhelming. In an effort to save the ship and the lives of those aboard, they cast four anchors into the sea. Sadly, these anchors proved ineffective against the storm that they faced, and the ship was ultimately lost. However, on board the ship was a man named Paul. He was a special man for several reasons. One, he was a child of God. Secondly, he was on a mission. Thirdly, he was a man of faith. And fourthly, he was in fellowship with God. And because of who he was and his relationship with God, Paul was anchored in the midst of that storm, even though the ship wasn't. The sailors threw four anchors into the sea in an attempt to steady the ship. Those anchors failed. But as I read this passage, I became aware that Paul had four anchors as well. These anchors that Paul had steadied him, kept him calm in the storm. Even though the ship was battered and shaken and torn, Paul was able to stand strong and stay steady and keep his head about the whole thing. So I'd like to take a few minutes with you tonight to share what could have been those four anchors that Paul had in his life. Those four things that kept Paul going in that storm. You see, these same anchors are available to any of us tonight as well. And they will keep you steady in the storms of life. So what are the four strong anchors for life's stormy seas? Number one, the strong anchor of the presence of God. Verse 23, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Even in the midst of that raging sea and in the middle of that storm, Paul found that he was not alone. The Lord sent his angel to come and minister to the heart of Paul. Regardless of the storm that tosses your life and mine, we are never, ever alone. God is always there. His presence wants to draw us near to himself. Paul had confidence that God would not forsake him in this time of need. God would be there even in the storm. We have to have faith in our relationship with God as well, realizing that He will be there in the storms of life. His promise is to be with us always, not just in the sunshine, not just in the summertime, but He's there in the stormy weather. He's there in the fall. He's there in the winter. He's there in all seasons of life. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Can you add your amen there? Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Psalm 23, 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What an encouragement to know that we will never face an incident in life on our own. Every step, every valley, every mountain will be graced by His presence. Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The blessed footmen of God, mercy and grace follow us wherever we go. It would be a blessing if we could enjoy the manifest presence of the Lord as Paul did. But even if we cannot see Him, we know that He is watching. We know that He is still there, leading, protecting, just being God. Dr. Tony Campolo says that when he was a young boy growing up in a congested and bustling city, his mother arranged for a teenage girl who lived nearby to walk him to school and home every day. And for this, she paid this teenage girl a nickel a day, 25 cents a week. But Tony rebelled in the second grade and told his mother, "I can walk to school myself. And I can walk home from school myself. And so if I'm extra careful, you can give me the nickel a week and save yourself 20 cents. So after a period of pleading and begging, little Tony finally got his way. For the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth to school, back and forth to school, back and forth to school. It was an 8-block walk with many streets to cross, but he was careful when he crossed the street, looking both ways. He didn't talk to strangers. He didn't get distracted along the way. And it wasn't until years later at a party, he bragged about his independence and reminded his family of how he had taken care of himself as a little boy. His mother laughed and added the rest of the story. She said, "Did you really think you were alone? Every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. When you got out of school at 3:30 in the afternoon, I was there. I always kept myself hidden, but I was there and I followed you all the way home. I just wanted to be there for you in case you needed me." That's the way God is. He's always there. He's always walking there with us. He's just lurking over maybe in the shadows. But He's there because He's concerned. He doesn't want any harm to come our way. He's always there. And there are times in our life when we think that we're walking alone. We're walking down busy streets and crowded places, thinking that although there are lots of people around, we are alone in our world. But that's not the case. God is always there with us. We need the anchor of the presence of the Lord. We need to realize and cast that anchor upon the stormy seas of life. Number two, the strong anchor of the promises of God. The promises of God. Acts 27, verses 24 and 25. Saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." I believe God. I believe it'll be just the way it was promised. And as Paul was weathering that long, terrible storm, what a precious promise the Lord gave him, reminding Paul that he would stand before Caesar and that all those who were in the ship would be spared as well. For Paul, having a word from God was enough to anchor him and give him blessed assurance. Why? I mean, there's still the storm that's taking place. The Lord didn't stop the storm. He just gave a promise in the middle of the storm. How could you be so sure, Paul? Because Paul knew that God was as good as his word. In fact, Paul wrote, Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." You believe that tonight? Are you fully persuaded? 50% persuaded? How persuaded are you? Hope you're like Paul, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. His promises are true. His promises are steadfast. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." We can anchor in the promises of God. God is true. He will never lie. There's promises to us. We could keep these promises and believe them. We can have assurance of total security, of, first of all, brighter days. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life." But here's the thing, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God has promised better days. When we are in the middle of storms, God has promised that it's not always going to be like this. There's not always going to be a storm. It's not always going to be night. There's not always going to be sorrow. There's not always going to be grief. There is joy that will come in the morning sunshine. God has promised, and we have the assurance of total security in his deliverance. Psalm 34 and verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Everything is for our good, according to Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Security in his divine grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then we know that all things work together for his ultimate glory. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." God's promises, folks, we can believe them. His promises based on his word, his inspired word that can never, ever fail. His word will remain through it all. When this world is destroyed and put in flames, God's word will still remain. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Dr. Everett R. Storms spent a vast amount of time studying the promises of Scripture. Writing in one magazine, he said, "The Holy Scriptures contain a grand total of 8,810 promises. How do I know?" He says, "I counted them." 8,810 promises. He went on to say, "All my life I have seen various figures quoted as to the number of promises in the Bible. The one most generally given is 30,000. Since this is a round number with four zeros in it, I have always been a little suspicious about it. Furthermore, since there are only 31,100 verses in the Bible, it would mean that there would be practically one promise in every verse. I do not guarantee my count to be perfect, but it is the most accurate I know of." He goes on to classify the promises in Scripture into eight categories. Said there are 7,487 promises from God to man. That's about 85% of all the Bible's promises are promises from God to man. There are 991 instances of one person making a promise to another person. There are 290 promises from man to God. There are 29 promises made by the angels, most of them found in Luke. There are 9 promises made by that old liar, the devil. So you can't count on those. Those are lies. For example, his promise to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would fall down and worship him. 2 promises are made by an evil spirit. And 2 promises are made by God the Father to God the Son. Dr. Storms additionally found that 1 book of the Bible contains no promise at all. And that is the book of Titus. Ephesians only has 6 promises. On the other hand, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel have over 1,000 promises each. When he was asked what portion of Scripture most impressed him, he wrote, "The most outstanding chapter in the Bible as far as promises are concerned is Psalm 37. Practically every verse in that psalm is a wonderful promise. You might want to take a look at that. In one memorable scene of Pilgrim's Progress, Christian began to find the pathway difficult. He climbed up over a wall to walk in Bypath Meadow. Eventually, the ground grew soggy and covered with poisonous vines. The sky became black, and Christian spent the night huddled at the foot of an oak tree. And on top of all that, it was a downpour of rain. The next morning, giant despair caught him, captured him, beat him, and imprisoned him in the dungeon of Doubting Castle. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, you might remember that. There is Pilgrim in Doubting Castle with its grim battlements and thick black walls. Christian tried to sing there, but he couldn't. His mood was just dark. It was dungeon dark. Giant despair had been showing him no mercy. Christian grew weaker each day. At last, he found in his cell a rope, a knife, and a bottle of poison, tools of suicide. And for a moment, he was tempted to end his misery. But then one evening, he began to pray, and a little before day, Christian was amazed. And he thought of something. "What a fool I am," he thought to himself. And this is the quote. "What a fool am I thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well walk at liberty. I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am sure, open any lock in Doubting Castle." And when he used the key of promise, it worked on Doubting Castle. And you know, we also have the keys to the promises of God, and they work. They work against doubts. They work against fears. They work against anything that the enemy would try to discourage us with and get us to a place of despair with. God has given the promises of his word. If we would just find the promise and match it to the need, we could be set free. Using the key of God's promise, Christian escaped, never to fall into the clutches of despair, giant despair, or Doubting Castle again. Claim the promises of God. Let them be an anchor for your soul as you sail the stormy seas of life. They will unlock the prisons of despair in which the devil seeks to enchain you. The third anchor that Paul had was the strong anchor of the providence of God. The providence of God. Again, verse 24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Paul realized that this storm was just a part of God working out his plan in Paul's life. You know, it's hard to really come to grips with that, but at that moment, the storm was the safest place in all the world for Paul to be. Because the safest place for any of us is in the will of God. Whether it's in the storm, whether it's in the furnace, wherever it may be, the safest place for us is in the will of God. And God was working in a mighty way in this situation to bring about his will for Paul's life. You know that God is doing the same thing in your life as well? It may be simple faith, but I still believe that God is sovereign. I still believe that God has everything under control. I still remember Dave Wilkerson in his book, The Vision, and heard him give a message based on that. And one of the things that he kept saying over and over was, God is still in control. I believe that God is in control of everything that happens in my life. He's a sovereign Lord. Listen to the testimony of James concerning the sovereign Lord in chapter 1 of verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If I didn't know that God was on the throne, I wouldn't want to face what this world is going to be like in the next few years, decades, centuries. It's a scary possibility. I wouldn't really even want to live tomorrow if I didn't know that God was on the throne. But he is, and he orders the storms, and I can weather the storms because God knows what is best for me. And God knows what is best for you. And he only sends things into our life that he knows are best for us. So the best thing that we can do when we find ourselves in a storm is to run to him for refuge and cling to him until the storm passes by. Psalm 57, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Isaiah 25, 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Emperor Charles V was trying to assassinate John Brenz, friend of Martin Luther. Hearing of the plot, Brenz barely had time to grab a loaf of bread and duck into his neighbor's hayloft. There he hid 14 days. The bread was quickly gone, but the Lord sent a hen who showed up and laid an egg each day for 14 days. In this way, Brenz was kept alive. On the 15th day, the chicken didn't come, and the reformer wondered what he would do. But from the street below came the cries, the cavalrymen are gone at last. In a similar way, a dog provided the needs of another reformer, John Craig, who was arrested during the Inquisition. On the eve of his scheduled execution, Craig escaped. But while fleeing through the Italian backcountry, he ran out of food and money. Suddenly, a dog approached him with a purse in its mouth. Craig tried to drive the animal away, but the dog persisted in bringing the purse to Craig. In it was enough money to take him to freedom. Robert Bruce of Scotland was running for his life, fleeing persecutors. He ducked into a small cave, and a spider immediately appeared and spun a web over the opening. Bruce's pursuers fanned across the landscape, knowing he was near. Two of them approached the cave, and one of the men started to go in. The other one stopped him, saying he could never have gotten in there without breaking that spider's web. Bruce breathed this prayer, O God, I thank thee that in the tiny bowels of a spider you can place for me a shelter. It doesn't take much for God to shelter us, but he wants to be a place of refuge for you. He wants to be a shelter. He wants to be a refuge in the storms of life. Raymond Edmonds said this, first he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this strait place. In that fact I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me the grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends for me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. And then he went on to say, let me say I am here, first of all, by God's appointment. Secondly, in his keeping. Thirdly, under his training, and fourthly, for his time. We are here by God's appointment. Wherever you are in your life, you are there by divine appointment. While you are there, you are in God's safe keeping. But you're also under His training. And you will remain there for as long as God deems it necessary for it to be. This is the kind of confidence that will let you shout even in the devil's face, even when the storm rages. Job said, after renting his mantle and shaving his head and falling down upon the ground in worship, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Notice back to our story with Paul. After he had received the great promise of the Lord for himself and that all those on board would be saved, the men still tried to take matters into their own hands. Some tried to get off the ship. Even in the face of God's promise, the men in the ship fought, feared, and fretted in the midst of the storm. There was just one guy on board who was enjoying the trip, Paul. Why? Because he simply believed God. He knew that God was working, and he used that truth as an anchor. We live in a day when people are abandoning ship. They get in a difficult situation, they look to jump out. They look to just try to escape. The storms of life attack them, and they begin to run. Some even leave the old ship of Zion. Can I just remind you that the best place you can be in the storms of life is in the ship? It's where the Lord wants you to be. He wants you to stay in the ship. He doesn't want you to jump ship. If you jump ship, you have to face the fury of the storm on your own. But if you stay where the Lord has placed you and planted you, you can be assured of His providential work in your life and that His will would be accomplished, carried out to completion for you. The last anchor is the anchor of the performance of God. The performance of God. Verse 44, we didn't read that far down. But Acts 27:44 says, "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." What the Lord had told Paul and what Paul believed came to pass. Everybody made it safely to the shore. God kept His word. He spared every life. He proved Himself to be as good as His word. Can I just encourage you tonight? Whatever the storm is, He'll work it out. He will get you through the storm, and He'll get you to the land safely. It may look at times like the boat is about to sink. It may look like the storms of life are going to prevail. However, when the waves have all settled down, when the winds have ceased their blowing, when the rains have stopped, when the storm clouds have moved off the horizon, you will be able to see that God was in control all along. It's happened over and over again in my life. I'm sure it's happened over and over again in your life. After getting through the storm and looking back on the storm, you saw that God was there all along. You saw that not only was God there, but God was in control of the whole situation. And I can promise that no storm will blow you off course, the course that God has determined for your life. He will secure you during the storm. He will successfully deliver you to the safe harbor of His glory. Corrie ten Boom said it this way, "When Jesus takes your hand, He keeps it tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, He leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your life, He brings you safely home." I would just remind you this evening that our God is a strong and powerful God. Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Job 42:2, "I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee." God can do anything that needs to be done. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The fact of the matter is, God didn't save you to lose his grip on you in a storm. You understand that? God did not save you to lose his grip on you in a storm. No, he saved you to take you home to glory. And that's just what he is going to do. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus says, "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Jesus didn't save you to lose you. He's not going to let you go during the storm. If anything, he's going to increase his grip on you during those times. But the question for you is, have you set your anchors deep in the Lord this evening? If you have, then you can weather life's storms. If you haven't, be prepared to be blown about by the winds of adversity. I would encourage you to come before the Lord. Say something like this: "Lord, I cannot fix my situation. I cannot calm the raging seas of my life, and I cannot still the winds that blow against me. I need help today. By faith, I cast the anchors of your presence, your promises, your providence, and your performance into my stormy sea. I am resolved to trust you to walk into my storm and speak peace when it is your will to do so. Until then, I will not fear, I will not fret, and I will not fight. I will trust you to do what is best for me." When you throw in the towel and you come to a place of total surrender before the Lord in your storm, it's like it gets God's attention. And you can be sure that he will do something about your situation. Sometimes I think God is just waiting for us to give up, waiting for us to surrender. And when he sees that we have finally done that, he comes in the situation and he speaks peace to the storm and does something to deliver you in your situation. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Are you facing a storm tonight? Are you facing a situation that you cannot fix? Are you facing a storm you realize you cannot calm the raging seas? You cannot not stop the blowing winds. By faith tonight, cast those four anchors. God, by faith tonight, I'm casting the anchor of your presence. I'm casting the anchor of your promises. There's a promise for my situation. I'm casting the anchor of your providence. I'm here by your will, and you are accomplishing your will through this storm. And I cast the anchor of your performance. You will deliver me in your time. And then tonight, purpose not to fear, fret, or fight. Simply surrender to the Lord. Don't jump ship. Stay in the ship. Father, only you tonight know how many people are facing storms. And some may be facing multiple storms. And some maybe have faced storm after storm after storm. It seems like those in Florida recently are facing hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. There are Christians that are facing these situations spiritually. Lord, tonight I pray for them. I pray that their faith might be strengthened. I pray that they would cast those four anchors of your presence, your promises, your providence, and your performance. Bring deliverance, O God. But until you do, may they be strong, may they be confident, may they trust in you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Up upon life's boundless oceans where mighty billows roll. I fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the Rock of Ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the Rock of Ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the Rock of Ages. Amen. I hope that you're anchored to that rock tonight. And if you need to spend some time in prayer tonight because you honestly couldn't say that you're anchored in Him tonight, there's some doubts, there's some fears, these altars are open. We haven't had an altar time in a while. I want you to come and find a place at the altar tonight. If you have a special situation that you are looking for a promise from God, you know, you might want to be able to share that with somebody, because I'm sure that somebody would be very glad to help search the Scriptures through those 8,810 promises to help you find yours. Somebody would be glad to do that. And if some people are having a hard time, we'll get a whole bunch of people looking. And God will direct us. I believe there is a promise for your problem. So these altars are open. Come if you'd like. If you want to be dismissed, consider yourselves dismissed this evening. God bless you.